Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds of Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. You know who's also back? Texas, baby. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the architect behind the statue of Bill Clark that needs to be erected in Birmingham, Alabama. And with me is AJ, Paolo, no matter what, Marchese.
Perfect pick. The Magic just got NBA on their heads again, Rob. They're the best franchise in sports.
Today we're going to unveil our NFL GM tiers. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Driving out to KC, maybe. Looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying to not let the funk out. Last week we let the funk out by not having an episode, AJ. Thoughts?
Yeah, the guy got really funky in the world, Rob. How was your week off? What'd you do?
I went traveling.
Nice. See anything interesting?
Yeah, I went to not Northern Ontario, but Mid Ontario.
The beautiful Mid Ontario.
Yep. You ever taken the 404? It's my favorite highway.
God's country, as we like to call it.
Yeah, I took the 404 up and the 400 back. Two favorite highways.
I don't like that. No, you gotta just choose one. No one knows what we're talking about. Let's talk about NFL GMs, Rob.
No, I got something first.
Okay.
I need your Arch Manning take. I've been just inhaling Arch Manning content.
I respect.
Do you think he's good?
No, he's gonna be a bust. What's the odds that he's gonna be a bust, Rob?
Okay, so. My partial, I read a lot about recruiting. It's my greatest downfall. And, like, I've been reading about Arch Manning for, like, 3 years. And by all accounts, anyone who actually understands the recruiting stuff and, like the 247 guys or, like, Ari Wasserman with The Athletic, Arch Manning is a five-star. Arch Manning is good. Like, they're like, yeah, he's getting more clout, obviously, because of his last name.
Yeah.
But, like, he really isn't that far off from Quinn Ewers, for example, coming out. Like, he's not getting a major bump because of his last name. Like, the if he was bad, he wouldn't be getting this hype. Like, use any – I know it's the Mannings have a little bit more clout, but, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't a five-star, you know what I mean?
It's still not the Mannings, though. But yeah, I mean, I'm not.
I know, but like point being, like the name doesn't. The Manning name carries more clout than any other name.
Yeah.
Yes.
At that position.
But absolutely. Especially at that position.
Yeah.
But like, there's been like sons of other Hall of Famers who have like clearly did not get a bump in recruiting, because of their last name, and like Marvin Harrison Jr. is a good example because like. He's outplayed all the other five stars that came in his class with him.
Like, I don't.
And he wasn't a five star. I'm just, my point more so is like people, like people are like, oh my god, like he's like, he wouldn't be good if he wasn't a Manning. And like, I saw a TikTok and it was like, this unrecruited kid put up better high school numbers than Arch Manning. Just like, okay, but I don't know. This kid in Ohio is probably underranked, but that doesn't mean Arch Manning, just because he didn't throw for as many yards, is bad.
No, I don't think he's like, you know, a fucking three star, and because he's a Manning, he's a five star. But
exactly.
I do also
that's
kind
of my point.
Like being like, you know, the highest rated recruit, you know, perfect grade, whatever the fuck, almost. I think that probably gets with the Manning name and just like the social media cloud and blah blah blah. But I mean, look how many five star quarterbacks like more five star quarterbacks than not come out in our bus. I feel like, you know what I mean.
Ooh, save that for the offseason pod.
Hey, look at the Texas list of their highest ranked quarterback recruits.
Oh, did you see me tweet that? Yeah. It was pretty good, eh?
Most of them are not good.
That was more about Texas doesn't know how to develop than it was about the rankings are bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like it's both. It's high. Look, you're talking about high school kids. You never know what they're going to turn into.
Isidore Newman or whatever is a private school too, so it's not even playing the best kids in Louisiana.
There you go.
Last question. What are the odds both Ewers and Manning are good? Like, put a percentage on it. 100 being they both become first round NFL picks.
30.
Okay.
I'm gonna go low.
Does either of them become a Heisman contender?
Are we talking like real, like in the season, or like not a favorite in preseason?
No, like finalist. They're at the ceremony.
It's hard to say no because they're so hyped, but I kind of want to say no because Sark still hasn't proven it.
Odds are against it too.
And odds are just against it. Yeah. So if I had to put money, I'll say no.
Does either become a first round pick? I will say Christian Hackenberg was a second round pick and he was bad. So
yeah.
Arch Manning could be like not good and still have the last name and be a first round pick. Theoretically.
Tebow was a first round pick just based off, you know, success, like not quarterback talent. Like, so yeah, if I were to put money, I think I'd take that one. Just, I don't know.
Okay, will Texas finish top 10 ranked in Arch Manning's career?
Yeah, but not because of him.
Not because of Arch?
No, because of everything else. Just Texas is back, baby.
Because of the logo on the helmet, no one in the uniform.
How much do you actually trust Sark?
Sark hasn't, like, I like Sark.
Me too.
I think I like him, and you saw flashes of what he can do. Like, the way he schemes up receivers is incredible, but
yeah.
I don't know. He went 5-7 in his first year.
Yeah.
Casey Thompson put up some numbers and transferred. I don't know, because, like, it's all just going to be dependent on if Ewers or Manning is good.
Mm-hmm. Really, pretty much.
I believe that Sark's going to get players that Texas drafted again.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any last year. I think they'll put skill players in the NFL under Sark. I don't know if that means he's
gonna win
last
SEC
long.
Championships. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they've got like Nair, Worthy, Bijan Robinson. Like they got guys who are gonna.
Yeah, for sure.
But who will they be drafted by? Well, that depends on how the GMs in the NFL feel about them. And there's plenty of GMs in the NFL. 32, theoretically.
Ooh.
Actually, 31 because the Bengals don't officially have anyone with a GM title. Although Duke Tobin's the de facto. And some teams like the Cowboys have Jerry Jones owning that GM title when he's not truly the GM, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But I theorized, AJ, that there are 7 tiers of GMs in the NFL.
May I hear the tiers? The tiers,
yeah,
for
because,
fears, please.
Hey, I was at a concert the other night and the band covered a Tears for Fears song.
What song?
I forget what it's called. The big song they have. Anyway. 32 GMs. 7 tiers. The tiers are as followed. 1, tier 1 being the best, tier 7 being the worst. Tier 7 is the dumpster fire tier.
Okay.
Tier 6 is bland as soda crackers. Oh, I was hoping you'd laugh at that when you didn't.
I'm just listening. I'm listening very intently. I want to hear them all.
Tier 5 is the unknown.
Okay.
Tier 4 is the chaos tier. Tier 3 is the up-and-comers. Tier 2 is full confidence of the fans. And Tier 1 are the Super Bowl architects.
Can I put your tiers in tiers? Or you'll have to listen to 7 Rounds in Heaven Plus for that?
We'll cut it for 7 Rounds in Heaven Plus, but I'd like to hear right now.
Yeah, okay. I'll do it. So, okay, I'm going to say it now. But now we're back to the regular show.
I'm so confused. Which is that?
Let's start the show.
Wait, I want to know your tiers of my tiers.
Oh, 3, 2, 6, 5, 4, 1, 7.
Oh. Yeah, I agreed. Blend of soda crackers is the best tier. Okay, so we'll start. We'll start by going. We'll start with tier 7. We'll work our way up to tier 1. Off the bat, if you've got it, like, we won't even. I won't throw GM names off the bat. If you've got someone that comes to mind that fits that tier perfectly, we'll just throw them in. We'll discuss them a little bit, and we'll go from there. Thoughts? Does that work for you?
Yeah, sure, sure. All
right.
Dumpster
tier
fire.
Tier 7, dumpster fire. Any GM jumping off the page for you
propose a Trent Baalke?
Trent Baalke was the reason I came up with this tier.
Good. Definition of a dumpster fire right now? Like,
it's part of it is he ruined the 49ers, yep, too, so that left a bad taste in our mouths.
I feel like that people was like did not give that enough attention when it happened. East Coast bias. No, East Coast bias.
Yeah, agreed. He imploded what the 49ers could have had as a year-in, year-out contender. Left a bad taste in their mouth, took some time off, joined Jacksonville in 2020, somehow ended up their GM. Shad Khan has kept him despite he hired Urban Meyer.
Yep.
Course corrected now, theoretically, with Doug Peterson. But even so, it sounds like just the process of this draft. Even though I like Travon Walker, and I think that was a fine pick at the top, it wouldn't have been my pick, but like it wasn't too much, like it wasn't a massive fuck up or anything. Just the fact that there doesn't seem to be continuity between him and Doug Peterson already based off this is not great, and he just has a bad history of aligning with his head coaches.
It also is just like it doesn't make any sense how he survived the Urban Meyer era. Like that, it's still pretty dumbfounding there, but yeah, it does. I don't know who. Is Trent Baalke just going to become like supreme ruler in Jacksonville, or do you think like next time push comes to shove, they're signing with Peterson, or the cons are signing with Peterson?
Let's review some of the things he has done. I don't know. Sure, Urban Meyer was in charge last year, maybe had final say, but Baalke's. I don't know. Like, you have to put the blame on Baalke for being in the room and being part of hiring him.
Absolutely.
So they take ATN the first round when they have James Robinson. This offseason, they reset the receiver market by paying Christian Kirk, and they overpaid Zay Jones.
Well, Zay Jones can get anything he wants in my book, but yeah.
I thought Chad Muma was a great pick, but it didn't make sense with the trade-up for Devin Lloyd.
Yeah, it didn't.
And they just do things. They do things differently, AJ.
Like Fortner was a good pick, but it was a little. I don't know. Like, I don't want to get too nitpicky with guys we haven't seen play yet, you know. But
yeah, it just feels like they do things. They do things without like a lot of sense. It's kind of like a little bit the Cardinals are doing it weird in a different way, but just there doesn't seem like there's a group. Yeah, there just doesn't. Some GMs just don't seem to have a great plan, whereas like. Using an example of the polar opposite is Ozzie Newsome, Eric DaCosta, have the most plan.
I don't know, yeah, and like that team, like, yeah, Urban Meyer's a shitty fucking coach, but like last year, I don't think people expected the Jags to be that terrible. And of course, that comes down to Urban Meyer being maybe the worst head coach in history, but
Trevor Lawrence was maybe the greatest quarterback prospect of all time.
Exactly.
And like, there was enough flashes and they got rid of Urban Meyer quick enough that I have great hope still for him.
Yeah.
But the fact that he struggled as much as he did, I think shocked everyone.
Exactly. So my question is Baki in the dumpster fire tier on his own? Or do you have someone else to nominate here?
I think Martin Mayhew.
You know, okay, perhaps that was going to be the other name I was going to name because he is in the dumpster fire of the organization. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, like it's the Washington Commanders are the most dumpster fiery team in the NFL from owner through.
Yep.
And so like maybe it's not specifically Mayhew, who was at the time a weird hire. They co-hired him. Remember, I swear they announced like. It was reported that Marty Herney was going to be the GM, and then, like, an hour later, it was Martin Mayhew, and Marty Herney is his right-hand man.
Yeah.
but, like, Mayhew was a bad GM and had a long leash with the Detroit Lions back in the day, if you remember. And then, like, kind of bounced around and then ended up... It's similar to Baalke, where, like, he had a bad tenure somewhere else, but got, like, it was just a retread hire for some reason.
Yeah.
For a team known for doing stupid things. And so I kind of do want to argue that Martin Mayhew deserves to be in the dumpster fire. Not only because, like, it's not all because of him. It has more to do with the franchise itself. But what do you think? I just feel like he doesn't deserve to go anywhere else.
No, I think that's totally fair. Like, where else are you going to put him? And maybe he had soda crackers. Soda crackers.
Like he trades for Carson Wentz, gives up 2 third-round picks.
That's soda crackers.
They draft another top 100 running back.
That's a soda cracker draft.
They overdraft Jahan Dotson. I like Jahan Dotson. I think he'll be a fine football player, but he overdrafts Jahan Dotson.
I know like this isn't on him, but like Antonio Gibson isn't as good as he should be. Like you know what I mean? Like that's on the coat, but like I don't know. Like. There's a lot of dumpster fire things on the field and not just in the ownership rooms and everywhere else in that organization and the literal shit bursting out of the pipes. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard not to call him a dumpster fire because of where he is, too. You know what I mean?
And while Trevor Lawrence was like this can't miss quarterback and Baalke and co kind of stunted his growth, Chase Young had a great rookie year, but he was off to a bad start last year. And that Washington Commanders, before he got hurt, the Commanders' defense was not nearly what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be this top five incredible front seven. And meanwhile, like they draft Jahmyr Davis in the first round, and like players are saying like he doesn't know where he is on the field. It's just like I think it's less egregious compared to Baalke because. The rest of the franchise is such a dumpster fire. It takes it like I'm sure people don't even realize Martin Mayhew is the GM.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because like, because it's all like fucking Dan Snyder should not be allowed to be an NFL owner.
Correct.
Jack Del Rio's out there saying insane things. Ron Rivera's reading the Second Amendment over and over. Like I don't know what's happening in Washington, but it's not going well. And I think Mayhew is. He's the only other person I think I'd argue for the dumpster fire
category. I'm fine putting him. I was gonna say Baalke first and then Mayhew second. So let's put him here. He can be 31. You know what I mean? If we're putting it like that.
Yeah. So you wouldn't argue anyone else for this tier?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone else is bad enough to deserve it. We got a lot of new GMs too. You know what I mean? I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's move into tier six. Blandest soda crackers. So these guys are to me are GMs that aren't necessarily disgusting, like the Baalkes and the Mayhews. They're not damning their teams to death. But they're also not doing a whole lot to get you excited about the franchise. Mm-hmm. Maybe here they make a good move, but there they make a corresponding move that negates it type thing. I have one GM who immediately jumps to mind for this category.
Is it Steve Keim?
It is Steve Keim.
I'm good at my Keimster. Job, baby. Yeah, I think he's the one that just screams this right now, especially after the draft they're coming off of.
He's been a GM for a long time.
Yep.
For a franchise that's found success with him as the GM, but... They always seem to kind of trip up. They get in their own way. They do things weird. We were talking about like their current team building plan doesn't make any sense. They trade for Hollywood Brown. They're paying Hop a ton of money. They draft another tight end after bringing back Zach Ertz. It's just all very confusing, and they're being weird about Kyler Murray, and I feel like this is his zone.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's kind of the definition of this, because like you said, he's done good things, but I don't know. It almost feels like it's time for him to move on, but they're afraid to, because they're just such a weird franchise right now.
Yeah, and like he's been there since 99. Like he's worked his way up. Like yeah. He has a good relationship with the owner. So I feel like he is kind of a little bit too invincible. But he does enough to get by and retain his job.
Mm-hmm. Now, I totally agree. And obviously they've had some playoff success. He doesn't have like a poor record in his time there either, you know what I mean? Like he's above 500 in his tenure, but not a lot of playoff success, right?
Yeah, like no one's out there saying he's a top 10 GM or anything.
No, never. I don't think he's never been that good. Now, I don't think he's like, you know, the 20, like if we're not ranking the GMs right now, I don't think he's like the 30th worst GM.
Like when they were good under Bruce Arians got the credit. When they're good now, it's because they got Kyler Murray. And like kudos to him for moving on from Josh Rosen and finding Kyler Murray, but he also did draft Josh Rosen.
He did.
And he did hire what's his name? Steve Wilkes.
Yeah, he did.
Where's Steve Wilkes now? He ran Missouri's defense into the ground, and now where is he?
Now he's suing.
He is the Panthers' defensive passing game coordinator.
It's a good job. And he's suing the NFL and calling Steve Keim out for getting Dewey's too. So that's not great.
Yeah. I mean, Keim also might not be a great guy.
No.
Any other GM that immediately comes to mind for you for this?
Immediately? Not immediately. Do you have anyone else that you want to?
I think Chris Greer belongs here.
Okay, I think that's a good one. That's a good one.
Because that's another guy where he's been there.
Yeah, he's had the leash since, what, 2016?
I think so. And like, he's missed on quarterbacks. He is... so he's been GM since 2016. But he's been with the organization since 2000. It's very similar to Keim.
Yeah.
He's likely missed on Tua.
Yeah.
He's missed Austin Jackson seemed like a bad pick at the time, and it definitely seems that way now.
Yeah, and the coaching turnover and I don't know. It's been I don't know. They made the playoffs the 1 year under him, and he's like pushing 500, but it's another team that just, I mean, maybe now the vision's coming out a bit more, but it's still a little murky with two at the helm, but it's another
team like that the weird
never had that right, like proper vision. I don't know.
Yeah. And I feel like he's just someone who's struggled to align with his head coach. Like him and Brian Flores clearly didn't get along despite Flores finding success there.
Yeah.
They apparently try to get Sean Payton. It doesn't work out.
Try to get Tom Brady. It didn't work.
Yeah. It's just been a lot of that. And like the draft picks have been pretty hit or miss. Like I mentioned Tua earlier, but like Noah I hasn't done anything.
No, that was a bad pick.
Christian Wilkins has been fine, but maybe not worth where he was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
They've really struggled to build this offensive line. They've spent capital on it. This offseason, I think he gets a little bit of a bump because he acquires Tyreek Hill, because he signs Teron Armstead. But we haven't actually seen those guys in play yet, so we can't really high-five him on those.
Also, like, how much of that is his, you know, hard work as opposed to, like, just South Beach being a destination?
No tax, stay tax.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Miami should be... I know it's been proven to be a very hard place to build a winner, right? Like, you know, in the last 40 years since Marino left, 30 years, whatever. But it should be an easy place to build, right?
And theoretically,
and he's had a long leash and he hasn't done it.
I mean, look across town. Pat Riley's turned the Heat into a perennial contender.
Yeah, and Derek Jeter turned the Marlins around in an alternate universe.
Did the Florida Panthers play in Miami?
They do, yeah. Sunrise, Florida, which is...
Yeah, hey, they set that NHL record for goals.
And then they lost another Florida team, which is fine. You know, Florida hockey's strong.
Florida, the hockey capital.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Would you put... I don't want to end up with too many GMs in one tier. Do you feel anyone else is deserving of the Blanda's Soda Crackers tier? The best tier we've got.
I don't know if anyone's really deserving right now. I think Ziegler might end up here, but I can't call my shot already.
Yeah, I know. That feels like a good one. Like, him and Josh McDaniels will, like, consistently go 9-8 and 8-9 and yeah, together.
Yeah, they'll be the next generation of this tier. But do we just call our shot now and put him here?
No, I feel like we have to pull. We have to be safe. All right. Proof of that yet.
The draft.
Is it too early? Like, I'd throw Scott Fitterer in here. I feel fine. I don't know any... Like, Scott Fitterer... is it too early? Do we have to...
Realistically, it's too early, but in reality, it's not, if that makes sense.
Like, are there any GM... Like, Nick Caserio, is he bland as Soda Crackers? Or do we just not know yet because he's inherited a weird situation?
No, he's going to land here.
He might be Chaos, though.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I forgot about the Chaos tier. Okay, let's put Fitterer here, if you're cool with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I do. He's, like, been GM for, what, a year?
It's January 2021. Yeah. Year and a half.
And it feels like drafts. It feels like he's put, like, his fingerprints aren't on this team at all. Like, it's Rule's team more than his.
Yeah.
And Rule hasn't done a good job. And I don't know, he just kind of exists in the Matt Rule realm. Matt Rule, like, doesn't know him.
Scott Fitterer might be a good GM, but I don't think that's going to happen in Carolina.
I love the icky pick. They didn't fuck that up. Like, good for Scott Fitterer.
Yeah.
But what have they done? Like, I don't know what, how have they gotten better? Like they once they trade for Baker, he moves up a tier, of course, but for now, like they bring in Sam Darnold, they trade up for Matt Corral and overdraft him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the good players on the team weren't because of him for the most part. The jury's still out on J.C. Horn because he got hurt.
Yeah. Terrace Marshall, like, did fuck all last year. Like,
yeah, Terrace Marshall and Derek Brown look like bad picks.
Yeah.
He wasn't there for Brian Burns. I don't know. They paid Shaq Thompson.
Brady Christensen. Like, that. I think that's a good sign of the disconnect, right?
Can I tell you a camp murmur I heard? Sure. That apparently Brady Christensen's getting the reps at left tackle and Icky's playing right tackle and not happy about it.
And we heard Rule mention multiple times last year that Christensen doesn't have the arms to play a tackle. So that
makes sense.
Yeah, and it does, yeah, okay. It doesn't make sense. So let's happily put him here.
I feel like this is a good tier for the GMs who, like, don't seem to align with their head coaches.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think that's, you know, that represents because they're playing because we don't see what they actually do. They got no spice to them, if you will, Rob.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else we want to argue here?
I think we can move on.
Okay. Into the unknown, where there's so many new GMs that there's going to be a lot of guys here.
There is. So we got, I don't know how much you want to get into, guys. We'll throw Dave Ziegler's name here, who I wanted for the...
Well, first, the newest of GMs is Omar Khan, so let's put him here first. Sure. He takes over for Kevin Colbert right after the draft.
Sign Larry Ogunjobi, baby.
Yeah, so he's one for one in my books. He might be an up-and-comer.
Yeah.
But I really wanted Omar Khan to be named GM, so I'm happy. Been with the Steelers since 2001. This just feels like the Steelers are a machine that keeps on churning. They'll be fine with Omar Khan in charge. He actually promoted Kevin Colbert's son to being director of college scouting. They hired Andy Weidel from the Eagles to be the assistant GM. Like, everything is coming up Pittsburgh, baby.
Steelers lose points for taking too long to hire him, in my book. She just pulled the trigger.
But it was fun. We knew Colbert was new. It was going to be Colbert's last draft because he wanted to be Ozzie Newsome and get his Lamar. And we did with Kenny Pickett, obviously.
Better athlete.
So had they not hired internally, it would have been really stupid. But since they did, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It really doesn't. But that was such an exhaustive GM search.
Yeah, I feel bad for, like, all the external people who came to interview.
Oh my god, it looks good on their resume. That's what the NFL has been saying for years for these things.
So yeah, Omar Khan's the epitome of the unknown.
Yes.
Even though he'll probably work out. Dave Ziegler feels pretty unknown.
For real. Yeah, I mean, we got one draft, but like I think he's, like we said, he's going to end up in that plane as a cracker because I feel like it's going to be Josh McDaniel's fingerprints on this roster, right?
Well, so Ziegler was, like, although Belichick has GM in name in New England, like, apparently Ziegler was, like, the highest up front office guy. He was the director of player personnel last year. But he kind of only spent 1 year in that spot.
Yeah.
And, I like, the Patriots did make some good moves that turned them, like, Kendrick Bourne was a good signing last year. Mac Jones ended up being a very good pick. Like, he's been he did a good job in his few years at the top. And it just, I don't know. I think him and Josh McDaniels are very much poised to you're right, be the bland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's already started with this draft class. I mean, they went on and got Davante Adams. That's not bland. That's fun.
But, no, that is fun.
But the class looks very bland. But again, he didn't have too much capital to work with either, so.
The contract they gave Carr was a good contract too, because they had to sign him, but it wasn't like sign our lives away to him.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. So you're saying he's an up and comer. I like that take, Rob.
I also do appreciate the fact that they're like, they picked up none of the options on Mayock's guys. They're like, Josh Jacobs, like, you're not the RB1. We're by committee. They sign Hunter Renfro. Like, I think he is off to a solid start. Like, he hasn't done anything egregious yet. The draft was a little funky.
Yeah.
But they were in a weird spot just given the capital in which they had and the previous high capital Mayock spent on bad players.
And like the roster's playoff a bull, if that's a word. And
they extended Max Crosby too. Like they're taking care of the guys they have to.
Yeah.
Like they have made enough moves that if they weren't in the AFC West, I think a lot of people would predict them as a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing is like they have no cornerbacks.
Overrated in this day and age,
but we'll figure out that during the season. So yeah, Dave Ziegler, definitely the unknown.
Who else we got? Joe Schoen.
Yeah. Joe Schoen, who feels like, I think he'll be in the up and comers list next year if we do this again.
Agreed. I hope we do, Rob. No, I mean it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, with Dable coming over, just bring Schoen over. That's. You know, that's hand and fist. That one's going to work, I feel like.
He had two top 10 picks, and like the way Dave Gettleman would have fucked it up, he didn't. Where he went and just took the two best players available, both trench players, Evan Neal, Kayvon Thibodeau, two of the two most important positions outside a quarterback. They weren't in a position to get a quarterback worth a top 10 pick. Daniel Jones, like, they can live with him another year and then draft a top guy.
Yeah, they're in a smart spot.
Yeah, he set it up really well. They've got the continuity between him and Dable. He was with Brandon Bean, obviously, who I think we'll argue is a Super Bowl architect in a bit. He was there forever as the assistant GM, like the right hand man to Bean. I really think if we were to say who jumps from tier three and lower into tier one, I'm going to put my money on him.
Ooh, wait, like in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Not next year.
No.
That's fair. Wait, quickly, before we move on, can I hear more the rest of the tier names again?
We're in the unknown right now, tier five. Tier four is the chaos tier.
Okay.
Tier three is the up and comers.
Yep.
Tier two, full confidence of the fans. Okay. So maybe a GM who you don't think he's at the absolute peak, but like he's not getting fired because he's good at his job.
Yeah.
And then the Super Bowl architects, GMs who their fingerprints are all over their rosters, right, and they can contend year in, year out.
Sounds good.
Okay. Unknowns continuing. Let's say Kwesi Adofo-Mensah
for sure
with the Vikings, who I don't think he's off to an ideal start. Everyone applauded the hire when the Vikings made it. A true analytics man, moving on from the old football man of Rick Spielman.
Mm-hmm.
Made some kind of head scratch. Like, wasn't a bad draft, I don't think, by any means. but made some moves that I think the analytics favored, but a lot of other people were like, we sure? The trade back with the Lions, for example, a division rival, to draft a safety in the first round.
And
I think Lewisine's going to be a great player. And it's not the player that they took that I have an issue with. It's the trading back that far in like a 15-player draft and giving your rivals such a playmaker in Jameson Williams.
And not getting a haul for it either.
Exactly. It felt like less than we've seen.
For most years, yeah.
Plus, they opt to bring back Kirk Cousins, which I don't really have an issue with because, like, what else are you going to do type thing?
Yeah.
But I know that rubbed some people the wrong way. So the jury's out. I'm really interested to see because it's such a different style of GM than Spielman was. I'm interested to see where they go. And this, I at least find this more of an exciting hire than the Ziegler hire.
Yeah, for sure. But it's just a bit of a stumbly start. I don't know. It's just not even stumbly, just like not exciting start.
Another first year GM, the Bears hire Ryan Poles. And speaking of stumbly starts, they go from Ryan Pace, who's stumbly and bumbly, to Ryan Poles, who I think we all thought was a good hire at the time.
Yeah.
And it just, they don't seem to care about Justin Fields. So they bring him over from the Chiefs, and you're thinking, he was with the Chiefs forever. He was with Brett Veach. He was with Andy Reid. He knows the importance of kind of putting talent around your young star quarterback.
Yeah, did a remarkable job rebuilding that offensive line in a single offseason. Like, they completely ignored the offensive side of the ball for the most part in the draft.
Yeah, so then all Poles really does in year one, as Justin Fields enters year two, is he drafts Velus Jones in the third round, which I think Velus Jones in so many other situations in the third round would have been a fine pick, but this situation was strange, like where he's a 25-year-old rookie who's primarily a yak slot guy, and you just need like downfield threats for Justin Fields. Like a big ball winner would have made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
They signed Byron Pringle, who's like, that's your top three receivers, apparently. The way they handled the offensive line was really strange. They didn't do a whole lot there at all. They let James Daniels walk to Pittsburgh. I heard that Braxton Jones apparently getting the first string left tackle snaps over Tevin Jenkins.
Man.
Yeah. So things aren't going great.
I will say Kyler Gordon, like, and Jaquan Brisker in a vacuum, good football players.
Yeah, I don't think those are bad picks.
No, me neither.
I like where you look at the talents of the player and where they were slotted. Like Gordon he was 39th, I think,
yeah.
And Brisker 48. Like that's where those two guys should go. And I think they're going to be good football players, and I think they're really fun in the secondary. It's just the context of what Chicago should be doing. Mm-hmm. It was a weird start for Poles. Like, if Justin Fields doesn't hit, that just sets them back.
It's a whole nother rebuild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, Fields showed enough as a rookie where he very much could hit. He could be one of the most exciting, aggressive downfield passers in the league. But when you get no offensive line around him and just, like, C-tier receivers, it's a tough sell.
Well, like, just to put it, like the offense around Fields was it pretty much of a disaster last year, and it got worse in the offseason, right?
Yeah, it did. No, it did. Without a doubt. They should sign Will Fuller. Like, I don't know, just take a flyer on someone.
Why not? Flyer on a flyer.
It just popped in my head.
I like it.
The unknown, is Terry Fontenot still unknown?
I think he's on the cusp between unknown and I put him a little chaosy. But I think for the purpose of this exercise, I lean unknown.
Okay, because there's another second-year GM who I'm willing to put in the up-and-comers.
Brad Holmes?
Yes.
Yeah.
And whereas Terry Fontenot's second-year GM, but he has definitely not done enough to be there.
And George Payton in the up-and-comers too, probably.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good call.
Yeah.
But Fontenot is not on, hasn't had a draft like either of them, hasn't kind of the plan isn't clear enough for the Falcons, where you can see it both with the Broncos and the Lions pretty clearly. What is your argument for him for chaos?
I just, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's
just the Falcons are just weird.
They're weird. You know, like,
they trade Matt Ryan.
They trade Matt Ryan. They trade Julio when, like, just didn't seem like a plan. I'm putting him in just the unknown. But, like, you know, I'm not criticizing the Pitts deal, but starting a pick, I should say. But starting a rebuild there and then doubling down on another big pass catcher.
Okay, yeah, no, I like it. I like that you've got him in the unknown, but the way Joe Schoen we think is going to trend to up-and-comers next year, you think Fontenot trends to chaos next year.
Chaos or, like, maybe eventually the playing division.
I don't even know if he's playing because, like, right, and he's taking 6'5 pass catchers and linebackers who don't know how to play linebacker but are freak show athletes and things like that. Like, it's at least it's bold. It's bold and it's entertaining. Okay. Anyone else for the unknown?
I think that's it. I think we hit everyone, right? Ziegler, yeah, so. Schoen, Kahn, Poles,
Adolfo Mensah.
Mensah.
And Fontenot.
And Terry Fontenot. Yep.
Okay, cool. Good work. Into tier four, the chaos tier. Who's the number one chaotic GM in the NFL?
It's a good question. I got to... Wait, hold on. I don't know. I think the number one chaotic GM is probably Jerry Jones. But I don't know where to put Jerry Jones in company.
I also have it written down as Jerry Jones in brackets, Stephen Jones, Will McClay, because I think they kind of... See, like, if Will McClay was the GM, I would put full confidence of fans, but it is Jerry Jones, so it's kind of weird. I'm here for putting him in the chaos, because, like, Jerry Jones is ultimately, like, McClay is the one who's in charge of kind of drafting, and he's doing a good job there.
Yeah.
But Jerry's the one hiring Mike McCarthy. That's chaos.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the way he operates is very chaotic. That's just kinda...
Jerry's the type of guy who goes in the office. He goes up to Steven and Will, and he says, I got a gut feeling. We absolutely need to draft another receiver. Or that's actually probably too... watered down. We absolutely need to draft this Chauncey Golston kid in the third round. I just heard there's a 6'4 corner at Oregon State, boys. We need to draft him. His name's Nashawn Wright. He doesn't know how to play corner, but we need him.
How much you want to bet that KJ is going to be a Dax Prescott this time? Dax backup this time next year. Pick Suey, baby.
Gonna take him too high. That's a good bet. I like that. That
third round.
I'd love that. So Jerry's chaos because Jerry's had success. The success has run its course, but they're still the Cowboys. They still have good players on their roster. Like, theoretically, this should be a Super Bowl team. Micah Parsons had arguably the greatest rookie season ever. And yet Mike McCarthy's in charge. I don't even know if we're confident they can win the division. And they should.
Yeah, they should. I feel like right now is, like, the quietest. Usually the Cowboys, they're just always in the fucking news. I know it's because they're America's team and, you know, ESPN just loves talking about them. But I feel like they're too quiet right now. There's something's going to come. And I feel like that's how you know they're a chaotic team.
Baker Mayfield's going to be a Cowboy.
There you go, baby.
The other GM... who came to mind for me when I was putting chaos tier together was Mickey Loomis.
Okay. You don't think he's got the full, he is chaos. He's chaos personified.
He has the full confidence of the Pelicans fans. Yes. They just made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Willie Green was a great head coaching hire, but the chaos of, he seems to have operated in a way in which, with Sean Payton gone, he thought, yeah, let's just hire Dennis Allen. Like, everything will be fine. Like, it's going to keep on churning the way it churns. They, like, refuse to go into a rebuild mode. They just keep spending. like they kind of operate in a way where they think they're a contender,
yeah,
when they're definitely not a contender, but they're too good to tank, so they're in this weird purgatory.
I almost think Mickey Loomis should have his own tier to himself.
That's when I first made Chaos tier, that was for Mickey Loomis, but you're right that Jerry Jones should be in it.
No, I mean, they're in such a weird spot. I don't know, like how much faith do you have in whatever the quarterback room is to get them to the playoffs? But the rest of the roster is pretty
good. Yeah, they have a great defense on paper.
Yeah, the offensive line is, I mean, obviously they lost Armstead, but it's still rock solid. Like I they're weird. I don't know. I don't know where they go from here. I feel like the Saints are either gonna, you know, be a sneak playoff team or just absolutely crash and burn somehow.
That sounds like chaos to me.
And that sounds like chaos, exactly.
And like the way they just seem to act as if there's no repercussions to spending money.
Yeah,
it's so weird. But at the same time, they let Teron Armstead walk,
mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they draft Big Stinky. Drafting Big Stinky is chaos.
That's a good point. Okay, I like it. Is this where Nick Caserio is going? Or
yeah, I think Caserio's got to be here.
It's just like I don't think there's any other word to describe the Texans' handling of everything.
Right, and just looking at like if you wanted to put him in the unknown, I kind of think he's above the unknown slate. Like Davis Mills was a good pick.
Yeah.
Like he's the king of chaos. They were, yeah, exactly. He's just going to fire and hire whoever he wants. He doesn't know who he wants as his head coach. Like, it is pure chaos. He's just signing all these guys to veteran minimum contracts. They just have so many warm bodies on this roster who I don't know if they're good at football or not. But, like, smart moves, too. Like, Brandon Cooks was a good pickup.
Yeah, it was.
Bringing in Mario Addison, I think, makes a lot of sense. Like, Malik Collins, Jerry Hughes, like, they're picking up weird veterans. They seem to, like, be unsure of what they're doing. But at the same time, like, they didn't overdraft a quarterback. They're smart. They're going to see what they got in Davis Mills and then maybe draft one next year. Like, they take a guy like Jalen Petrie, I think, was a really strong pick. They take a guy like Damian Pierce, another really strong pick. It's super weird. And I'm kind of here for it.
I mean, outside of Davis Mills last year, like, there was nothing worth watching on that team. When that defense was on the field.
Brandon Cooks, but.
No. Yeah, I mean, like, for, like, our show purposes, you know what I mean? Like, okay, Cooks is good. But, like, what is Brandon Cooks really going to bring to this team that's not going to sniff the playoffs for years? You know what I mean? I'm not criticizing them having Brandon Cooks, because, of course, right. They should. But I'm just saying, I'm just saying it adds to the chaos, because, like, other than him, like, it's just, like, it was, like, an island of misfit toys, the rest of the roster, outside of, like, Cooks and then...
Hey, Brevin Jordan for a couple games.
There you go. And Brevin Jordan and Tunzel, like outside of them. And, you know, Reed was just, like, getting benched. Like, it was so weird last year. And, yeah, I think he's...
I like their rookie class, too. Like, their rookie class makes them a lot more watchable.
For sure.
Which is all I want. The Texans are watchable.
But even going Kenyon Green, 15th overall, that's a bit chaotic.
Nothing is more chaotic than hiring Lovie Smith in the year of our Lord 2022 to run your NFL franchise after he couldn't get Illinois back to bowl eligibility. And, like, I don't know, it's just so bizarre. And they kept Pep Hamilton as OC. I think that was a smart move. For every dumb move, there's a smart move. That's chaos, baby.
I think if you were to somehow, like, the yin and the yang, you know, like, put the chaos and the cracker division together, Caserio lies in between, in the twilight world of chaos and old stalwarts and boringness. It's like, I think that's where he lives. And he loves
it. I think he's going to own the chaos tier for a handful of years. Yeah. He's gonna go through two more coaches and then he'll be out the door, and that's chaos.
And two more coaches in the next 2 years. Yeah.
Do you have anyone else who blatantly jumps out as chaos?
Not really. I think those are the dudes.
I have one question. What is Andrew Berry on this list? Do we just ignore him completely?
I looked at Berry's name and I'm like, I don't. Were you, with how you have it ranked, the tiers? I don't know where to put Andrew Berry.
Because I think anyone who trades for Deshaun Watson and hands him that money is a garbage human being. And, like, it makes me just not want to even talk about Andrew Berry as in football terms.
Yeah, like, I don't want to call him up and coming. If anything, it's chaos, I guess. If anything, it's chaos. We'll just leave it at that.
But, like, I also don't want to be like, oh, trading for Deshaun Watson is chaos. No, trading for Deshaun Watson just ain't, like, you're supporting a sexual assault deviant. Like, fuck you.
The money was so much fucking worse than trading for him.
Exactly. So should we just ignore Andrew Berry completely?
Yeah.
Done. Okay. Moving to tier three, up and comers.
It's a big.
It gets a little bit interesting here.
Yeah. Do you want to start with the guys we've already mentioned? Sorry to jump.
Yeah, I was gonna say off the bat, Brad Holmes and George Payton.
Yeah.
Payton.
I'm still not sure.
It's Payton. So let's start with George Payton, who had, I think, pretty like strong argument for the best rookie class in his first ever draft.
Yeah, top to bottom, definitely. Patrick Surtain at the top lived up to all hype. Everyone wanted him to draft a quarterback or Micah Parsons, and Surtain's been amazing. Then throughout the class, everyone looked good. And then they looked good on the field last year, and then come into this offseason, and he makes his big swing and lands Russell Wilson.
I like that he didn't stick it out with Vic Fangio. He went and got his guy. And, like, regardless of what you think of Nathaniel Hackett, but the GM goes and gets his guy.
Yeah.
And because the roster is shaping up to be very good because of his draft, retaining what they had, and then trading for the Super Bowl quarterback, I appreciate that they're all in so quickly under Payton. Like, he's not dicking around on this thing.
You don't see it too often, now. You know? Like, it's...
No, he's an all-in guy, and they've got the parts.
Yeah.
Even if Nathaniel Hackett is a bit of a Mike McCarthy floundering coach...
Yes. Yeah.
Mike McCarthy ended up with the Super Bowl because the Packers organization was run so well, and they got that future Hall of Fame quarterback, right?
Yeah, I do really think – I don't know. I was going to say I think his tenure is tied to Hackett, but, like, I don't know if it is. If Hackett comes in and lays an egg
– I don't think it is because
– Yeah, no, I think they're going to be willing to move on is what I was
going to say. Yeah, like, if in 2 years they make the playoffs, let's say, both times, but they go out in the wild card both times, like – Payton's going to fire Nathaniel Hackett and find his guy. That's kind of so I think very much an up-and-comer just because he's done so much in such a short time. And it is a little unknown just because we don't know what Russell Wilson has left in the tank, but that rookie draft was so strong.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, if you asked me a year ago, I would have thought Brad Holmes ends up in the chaos group because of Dan Campbell and, like, the chaotic energy that he brings. But Brandon's had another fantastic draft.
Yeah, there's a very clear picture. I think Holmes and Dan Campbell have an alignment, which is so important.
Yeah.
And there's a clear picture here. They didn't get jumpy and take a quarterback. They're like, fine, we'll run with Jared Goff another year. Who cares? Like, Jared Goff is good enough where he's not bad enough to take away from us evaluating our players on the field, but he's not good enough to play us out of having a top five pick. Like, he is such a neutral type of quarterback. They had no receivers. They straight gold on Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round. They trade up for Jameson Williams this year. They signed DJ Chark to a really, I think, worthwhile gamble deal.
Yeah.
They bring in Josh Reynolds, who's like the best wide receiver for in NFL history.
So true.
They hit on Penei Sewell, I think. They get Aiden Hutchinson, so you've got a guy in both ends of the trench to build around.
Yeah.
Like, they clearly prioritize trench play, and I just like that you can see it here. Corners, they're one thing, but, like, even just looking at their staff, like, Dan Campbell hiring Aaron Glenn as the DC has helped them, their DBs play so much better than they should.
Yeah, they're getting UDFAs playing pretty good ball last year. So when they hired, you know, Campbell and Holmes, I really wouldn't have expected them to work so well together. I thought, you can go back and listen, I thought Campbell would be like, you know, this gimmicky, you know, old school, you know, we're gonna play tough as nails football, and he's gonna burn out quick. But you're so true. There's such a vision here with the two of them, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, the Detroit Lions rebuilt. Yeah.
Other up and comers.
Who we got?
You know what I wanted to ask you is I don't know what to do with John Lynch.
I would say John Lynch is just in that, like, you know, the trust group.
Okay. Because part of it is I think Shanahan has final say over Lynch.
Yeah, he does. He does.
And then you just don't know because of the Trey Lance. Like, Trey Lance is unknown right now. Okay, so we'll save John Lynch.
We got Joe Douglas here.
Is Joe Douglas, I guess he does. He isn't, like,
this is the only place I could put like, him. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's done the... Obviously, it's all tied to Zach Wilson, but he's done the most he can otherwise. And, like, they're doing an interesting job. They're like, he's got two bang-em-up running backs now. Like, they get Garrett Wilson. They've got kind of, they signed CJ Uzama. The two things with him are, is Zach Wilson going to be good, and is Mekhi Becton going to be in shape? Because if he is, like, that was a good pick, but he just hasn't been. But... I don't know, like, their offensive line could be really, really interesting. Their front seven's really fun.
They've
done a good job. Like, Joe Douglas has done a good job adding players at every position group.
Yeah.
Both through the draft and through free agency. So I think they signed CJ Mosley. It hasn't worked out because he's been hurt / opted out that 1 year. But
yeah.
I think if Joe Douglas, it doesn't work out with the Jets, like, Joe Douglas is going to rebound quickly. I think he's going to find somewhere else where it could work out down the road.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. If it crashes and burns with Zach Wilson, is Douglas out too? Or can you see him making it to another quarterback rebuild?
I mean, if every other position is good, like Robert Sulla's building a strong defense and it really is just truly Zach Wilson stinks, like, LaFleur's doing everything he can to scheme up around it and it's just not working. Yep. Like, maybe they do kind of get another chance.
I think so, too. I think the track record looks good enough. The roster looks good enough.
There's a tier one GM in this that we're going to talk about in a bit who it seemed like he was doing a bad job and they just came off a Super Bowl victory. So sometimes it's good to give your GM a long leash if they're building towards something and it's just certain things aren't playing out the right way.
I will say one more thing about Douglas. It seemed like, you know, the Jets were in on all these big wide receivers that are moving this offseason, and they couldn't land any of them. But, I think some fans might make that an indictment, but, like, you got Garrett Wilson in the draft, more than deservingly of where they selected him. Elijah Moore had glimpses of greatness last year. Corey Davis hasn't quite worked out yet, but, like, you know what I mean? I don't think that's such a huge, like... indictment of Joe Douglas at all, if anyone wants to say that.
Okay, I actually have a question. Do you have your full confidence behind John Schneider?
The team is in such a fucking weird place right now.
Does he deserve to be on the chaos tier?
Maybe. I don't know. But, like,
you have final say there, because you know John Schneider more than I ever will.
I don't know.
Something popped into my head.
But I guess being I don't know means... It's so weird, too, because he's coming off such a good draft class. It's like my confidence is back in, but the Russell Wilson stuff is such a fucking disaster. I don't know. Plus, it's all Pete Carroll's say, really, right?
I know. So how confident are you in Pete Carroll?
I'm not.
should we go back and put John Schneider in the chaos tier?
I think he's the last of the trust tier.
Is Mickey Loomis a better GM than John Schneider?
They're similar. I feel like they're similar. That's a good question.
John Schneider hasn't been running a basketball team.
Well, if they had one, he would.
The Sonics moved.
I think, Joni Allen should have let him run the Trailblazers, I think. Now he's lost his chance. Wait, they haven't sold yet, have they? No.
Not yet.
There you go. Maybe that's the way
Bill Knight's trying to buy them.
Yeah, he should. I don't know. I think Mickey and Schneider are pretty close.
Okay, if you're not going to put them in chaos, then we can move. There's no one else for up-and-comers, though, right?
I don't think so.
Everyone else is pretty, like, well-entrenched, I think, here, that they're full confidence if they're not tier one.
Yeah, no, I think you're good.
Okay, so, yeah, you're not putting Schneider chaos?
I'm going to put him the last of the trust.
You trust him?
I still trust John Schneider to evaluate players, yeah.
Okay, he's full confidence of the fans, then.
I feel like he's another guy that, like, him and Mickey need their own tears.
They do. Fuck it,
fine. We'll put him in chaos.
Yes.
Let's put him.
Because it's trending that way. Like if you asked us 3 years ago, he'd be in tier one probably.
Yeah, he would be. And
but it's
The
fact that Pete Carroll having final say is why John Schneider's in the chaos tier.
Yeah, no, it is, and I think it's hard not to call him in the chaos tier when everything happened with Russell Wilson. And
also, I'm just thinking of like their history of
LJ Collier,
chaotic first round picks.
It's like chaos.
Jordan Brooks. It's every year.
Yeah, it's every year. But that it's funny though, because like, but coming off this draft, I think there's a bit of renewed hope with John Schneider. Anyways, we'll put him.
I thought Kenneth Walker was a little chaosy.
He was, but that's classic. That's Pete Carroll, though.
So, just every bad move's Pete Carroll, every good one's Sean.
Boom. You got it.
Okay. Full confidence of the fans. This feels like the Tom Telesco brand.
It is. Yeah, pretty much.
Where, like, Tom Telesco's job never seems to be on the line, but the Chargers never make the playoffs. But, like, every year we're all like, yep, if they weren't hurt, the Chargers are the coolest team in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, look, you land Justin Herbert, and there were so many questions about him going.
I love Tom Telesco. I think
they're always our team, so of course we love him.
They somehow, like Tom Telesco, hits on a lot of first round picks. Like, I'm not saying every draft pick, but first round pick specifically. Look at the Justin Herbert, big time hit.
Mm-hmm.
Keenan Allen. Mike Williams, like maybe Mike Williams isn't as great as you thought, but like you're not going to call that a not a hit. Rashawn Slater, I think we both love the Zion Johnson pick. The outlier is Jerry Tillery,
our guy, yeah. But I love the pick when they made it, so it's okay.
And Kenneth Murray was a bad pick.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa, I guess I should say the first round picks he hits on are at important positions and they hit hard. The ones he misses on. Covered up by the positions. Hits.
Yeah.
Derwin James, another big hit. Asante Samuel Jr. looks like a big hit. They make good free agent, like fun free agency moves. Like at least J.C. Jackson's a fun move. The Corey Linsley signing was a really underrated signing. I mean, he finds Austin Ekeler undrafted.
Yeah, that's I feel like they don't get enough credit for that.
He's struggled with the head coaching stuff, like getting the right head coach in there.
Yeah.
But he's good. I think he's got the confidence of the fans because he hits at smart, like at the positions he needs to hit at.
If you were to rank Tom Telesco, like 1 through 32 of where you actually put him,
he'd be probably right here 16. After everyone we haven't named ish. Yeah. So like that, like he'd be in the 12 to 16 range probably, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Feels like.
Yeah. I feel like people don't realize how long he's been in charge of the fucking Chargers.
No, it's 2013, I think.
Yeah, almost a decade.
Yeah.
Under 500 record, 500 record in the playoffs. Like,
came from the Colts.
Yeah. He's a weird GM, but...
I like him.
I do too.
Yeah, he feels pretty obvious for this spot. I think John Robinson as well.
That was the next one I was going to name, yeah.
Where... The Titan, John Robinson's done a good job building up this kind of punch you in the mouth Titans team.
Yeah.
That, like, if they're coming off the one seed, and somehow he, like, in a smart, savvy way, they're coming off the one seed, and they're kind of doing this soft rebuild.
Yeah. He's
getting a new quarterback in the room, getting some running back depth. They trade A.J. Brown, which, like, argue it one way or another. They trade A.J. Brown, they draft Treylon Burks, and, like, it might not work, but you can see the vision of why you would do that.
Yeah.
They bring in Robert Woods, like, to mentor him. He's had some strong hits, like, Jeffrey Simmons has been a big hit, Harold Landry.
Yeah. Doesn't Robinson almost feel like Telesco, except Robinson found the perfect coach for their identity?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point because he is kind of like big swings, big misses.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Telesco's a little bit more like, you know, hit it straight down the fairway type, but Robinson will swing. And yeah, but the Vrabel hire has obviously been the biggest. And I think, like, you know, if Telesco had that kind of hire, you'd see, you know, I guess their win percentage. Telesco's just 475. Robinson's pushing 600. I think that's good. But they're both 500 in the playoffs. But I think that's kind of like the difference. But no, I think like they're aptly ranked back to back. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but that coaching that one difference is a huge difference.
This also feels like a spot for John Lynch, right?
Yeah,
that's what we're saying.
This would put John Lynch too.
Like, he I put below Telesco and Robinson.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't they hire John Lynch? I mean, they're under 500 since they've hired him and Shanny, which is kind of funny because of all the hype. But when they hired John Lynch, how much faith did you have in just that decision in a vacuum?
Zero. And some, like, they've, under the Shanny Lynch tandem, they've played in the Super Bowl and an NFC Championship. They've got the young quarterback to reset.
Yeah.
They're another team where, like, they find gems, like Debo Samuel being what he became, George Kittle.
Bringing in Trent Williams, one of the smartest moves.
And I know he just retired, but Alex Mack was a really great move.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, Nick Bosa, you weren't going to miss on that. But then they do have their misses. Like, Javon Kinlaw hasn't done anything. Brandon Ayuk's been a little up and down.
Yeah, I mean, really though.
Oh,
like, go ahead. Yeah,
sorry, I was just gonna say, like Fred Warner's another really great one.
I feel like the interesting thing is that John Lynch is not going to stay in this tier. He's either gonna move up, or like, because the way this franchise is trending, like Trey Lance is the future of this franchise, and if that pick does not work, and some of the other like little like interesting moves they made. If it all just kind of crumbles, they're in such an interesting position, and I don't know. He could be, you know, that Super Bowl tier dude, or he could be out on his ass. But he's done a way better job than I would have ever expected, though.
Yeah. I would also put Chris Ballard in this tier.
Yeah, I think
so. And I just want to know, but with the other three listed, where would you put it? Like, is Ballard above Telesco and Robinson and Lynch? Is he below them? Where do you think he is?
I think I put in that order. Ballard, Robinson, Telesco, Lynch.
Okay. And with Ballard, it's like he is – they've just – I'm biased because I'm a Colts fan. He's my favorite GM. But they've just managed to kind of hit everywhere except the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
And they just keep – like, instead of drafting because they want to keep contending, they keep bringing in veterans. Like, worked with Philip Rivers to an extent, didn't with Wentz. They bring in Matt Ryan. I have really high hopes.
Me too.
They like, I don't know. I really appreciate the way they've kind of not wanting to take their foot off the gas with him as the GM.
Yeah, and I feel like,
and I also think him and Reich are so very aligned.
They are. Yeah. I would like to know, because they're like, we've already highlighted it. It all comes down to the quarterback position. How long do you think their leashes are? Do you think, like, I don't know, Ursay's a kind of a loose cannon, but do you think like if they're clunky the next 2 years, they're out, or do you think like
just what's clunky? Like
500-ish.
No. Because like they seem to I think Ursay he doesn't seem overly reactionary.
He's not.
Which is shocking. And they've got They keep finding guys. Like, Julian Blackman was a pick everyone criticized. It's worked pretty well. Kenny Moore, they find undrafted. Like, Darius Leonard's become one of the best off-ball linebackers in the league. Like, Ryan Kelly, Quentin Nelson. You just continue to go through the list. Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines. Like, trading for DeForest Buckner.
Yeah. But do you have as much faith in them now as you did, like, 2 years ago, though?
I do. I think Matt Ryan's the right quarterback.
I do too. I think the quarterback position you feel better, but I think like maybe through the rest of the roster, I don't know. Maybe that's hard to say. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, they nail too, right? And much to our chagrin, but I don't know. No, it's.
I'm biased here.
No, I know. I know. Team. No, I know. But I think the Colts are an interesting, you know, roster, and they always have like their, like their every Chris Ballard draft looks like a Chris Ballard draft. They have such an identity, and this was another one. I don't know, and they're always in like a solid spot. I don't know. Eventually, they're going to have to hit on a quarterback, though. That's
where, the thing. Where does Duke Tobin fall?
Here, probably.
Okay, yeah. I'm not really calling him a Super Bowl architect.
Me neither.
Just because no one has a longer leash than Duke, who's the only technical GM in the NFL without the title. He's the director of player personnel. But the Bengals just came off a Super Bowl loss. But they're, I think, one of the best young, bright futures in the NFL.
Is it bad that I still think they're a little fluky?
I think they are too.
I mean, I love Joe Burrow, and I think he's got. He's not a fluke.
But, no.
And there's the pass catchers. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know.
Would he? he and kind of once Marvin Lewis was out, Duke Tobin, I think, got more control and things started trending in a better direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you put him at the top of the full of confidence of the fans now? That of the guys we've mentioned?
In the way that the tier is phrased, yes. But would I take him over the other GMs we've named? I don't think so.
I would take him over them all but Chris Ballard. But yeah, that's
fair enough. But he's gotten a team to the Super Bowl, so it's hard not to put that out there first and foremost, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's coming off another good draft. Like, I don't know. The way it's they're in a funny position. It almost feels like they're in a position that we see from other like leagues. Like maybe like a hockey team that like you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like does way better than we expect of them, makes a run. Like you don't see that too much in the NFL. And now they're in this funny situation where like they have like the quarterback, they have the pass catchers around it, and they're just adding kind of like the pieces around them to actually become a Super Bowl contender. You know what I mean? Like they're in an interesting spot. And like this the way he's moving forward, it looks extremely promising. It's hard not to say that, but like it's gonna be really interesting to see how he just fills out this roster.
Okay, Jason Light's won a Super Bowl as a GM. Do you think he's a Super Bowl architect?
No, but I think he's here. I'm very confident putting him here. He's done a great job, but like he's another guy who couldn't get the quarterback position right, and he got lucky with Tom Brady, right? Like that's fair to say, even though I think Jason Light's a really good GM.
He also missed on some head coaches.
That too. And then he landed. Yeah.
He hired Lovie Smith, did he not?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
And Dirk Cutter.
That one he did for sure, yeah.
I remember Hard Knocks. And obviously once they got Brady in the building, it became, I think, a little bit easier through free agency to bring in guys like, I don't know, Ryan Jensen, one of the best centers of the last couple of years, Ndamukong Suh, but he's also hit in the draft. Vita Vea, Tristan Wirfs, who shouldn't have fallen, but he was smart enough to take him when he did.
Yep.
Chris Goblin. All those DBs.
He kept throwing the darts, and it worked.
Yeah. But at the same time, without Tom Brady, and because of the coaching blunders in the past, like I do kind of Super Bowl architect, I feel like that is such a crown. Like,
yeah. Like where you have complete faith in
like if they continue to be post Brady, if they're competitive, he's there.
Yeah, agreed. That's I mean, look, they were staring into the unknown this offseason, and then old Tommy 12 walked on back into their lives, and they're all as right as rain. But like, I guess you got to give them credit for keeping everything together, you know, re-signing Godwin. But I don't know. If Brady walked for real, who knows what we're looking at. But he's such a good job at, no pun intended, steadying the ship, right?
Yeah. Where does Belichick fall? He's not what he used to be. Is he still a Super Bowl architect?
I don't know. I think
this is the toughest one.
It is definitely the toughest one.
Okay, we'll come back to it. Do you have to have won a Super Bowl to be a Super Bowl architect?
Or on the precipice, or Super Bowl favorite.
Okay. I think to me that says Brandon Bean is tier one.
It's Brandon Bean, yeah, being tier one, yeah, yeah.
Is Howie Roseman tier one?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Would you put him tier one?
I think I like Howie. I know everyone hates working with him, but just the constant, like, they're always, they bounce back so quickly. They make this head coaching hire no one thinks is good. No one thinks Jalen Hurts is good. They make the playoffs. They have this incredible draft somehow. They trade for A.J. Brown. He is the definition of all gas, no brakes at the GM position. That's why everyone hates working with him. But he has done such a good job, especially in the trenches. He understands the importance of trench play.
Yeah, no, he does. I mean, but like, you know, he has won the Super Bowl. But it's like it's one of those like fluky Super Bowls. I don't know. I think if you're gonna put him in this category, you put him at the top of it probably. But I don't know.
I don't know if I call him a Super Bowl architect.
Yeah.
So the GMs we have remaining are Brandon Bean, Bill Belichick, Eric DaCosta, Brett Veach, Howie Rosen, Brian Gutekunst, and Les Snead. I think you can argue almost all of them for either category.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think we have to cap how many guys we think are... Like, the architect, I think, maybe top five. That's the top five GMs.
Okay.
I think Brett Veach
might be full of full confidence simply because I think Andy Reid has final say. Now,
it's fair, but that's hard to separate, you know?
Okay, but what about Brian Gutekunst?
I don't know about Gutekunst yet. Like, he's a tough one. They're all tough ones here. That's why we're the top. That's what they pay us the big bucks, yeah. Gutekunst is hard. I mean, Lassinid, you're going to put him in the top. Bean, you're going to put him in the top. Agreed?
Yes. I might kind of think Eric DaCosta is the best GM in the NFL.
Okay, look, Eric DaCosta has done such a fantastic job. I definitely do. I think he is realistically a top five.
Okay, how GM. About this? I know what we're going to do. We're going to put Snead and Bean in the Super Bowl architects.
Okay.
So we've got, and we said let's cap architects at five.
Okay.
So let's rank Belichick, DaCosta, Veach, Roseman, Gutekunst.
Okay.
Who would you put at the top of your list there?
To me, it's hard not to put Veach, but like you're right. It's hard to separate them. Because
I think,
go ahead.
I would put DaCosta.
Now, but DaCosta doesn't have the track record. Like, I trust him. I fully trust him. And he's putting great draft after great draft. But, like, they missed the playoffs last year.
Okay, we're putting Eric DaCosta with the full confidence of the fans.
I think...
It needs a little more time. I think that's fair. It's Ozzie Newsome. It's still kind of got Ozzie Newsome's fingerprints on it. He's obviously been the right-hand man to Newsome forever. He was handpicked to replace him.
Yeah.
Ozzie's still in the building. And Eric DaCosta's done everything to be in that tier one. But we need to see maybe a little more consistency.
Like, maybe if I had any pick of any GM in the league, personally, DaCosta might be my first pick. But because I trust him.
But I like their process.
Yeah, because you like the process, but the results aren't there. And, like, you know, they had a bunch of shitty injuries last year. And, I trust him fully, but I think that's why I got to put full trust in the fans. But he hasn't put together that Super Bowl prototype yet, you know what I mean?
Okay, but now there's Brandon Bean.
Now there's Brandon Bean, but he's knocking at the door.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Okay, so we got Belichick, Veach, Roseman, and Gutekunst waiting for their categories.
Okay, you give me the next one.
I think Howie Roseman's tier one.
Howie Roseman is such, you know what, really, like, it's almost like if we had, like, a upper echelon chaos, that would be Roseman's tier, you know what I mean?
The Eagles never quit. Just looking at this offseason, looking at what they did last year, he has a Super Bowl ring. He has the most improbable Super Bowl ring of anyone here. Yes. And I know you can be like, that's fluky, but Nick Foles was able to do that because of the players around them in the process there. And, like, they got N'Kobe Dean. They got Jordan Davis. They understand front seven play. Like, Devonta Smith's a hit. I know they've missed on some receivers, so they go ahead and they trade for a proven one, A.J. Brown. Like, I love that. I'm putting out Howie Roseman, Super Bowl architect. I'm going to let you decide where the next GM goes, whichever you want to choose, Belichick, Veach, Gutekunst.
Okay, let's be little hot takey, maybe not, and put Bill Belichick in the...
I agree with this.
Yeah, not in the Super Bowl architect here, in the full faith. And I'm sure he has faith, there's still the Tom Brady truthers but
obviously it's less... It was more recent, but like, it'd be like putting Jerry Jones in the Super Bowl architects because he used to architect Super Bowl teams, but he's not anymore.
Yeah.
Belichick's got them contending still, and it's improbable. But like, look at their coaching staff right now. Like, something's up. Something's weird. They have no coaches.
Yeah, it's so
Joe Judge and Matt Patricia are their offensive coaches. Like, Mac Jones, I feel bad for him.
I think the best way to put it is that Bill Belichick, is a much, much, much better coach than he is a GM.
Yeah, and he's trending towards chaos GM.
He is.
But because he's such a good coach, it makes up for it. It hides his lapses as a GM.
But, like, you know, like, even, like, post, you know, post the perfect season before the return to the Super Bowls. Like, you kind of could put him in, like, that chaosy tier too. You know what I mean? Like, he's...
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Jason Light couldn't get into tier one despite having a ring with Brady because of Brady. So, like, you can make it work both ways a little bit. Like,
you can.
Like, if we're tiering head coaches, I think Belichick would be tier one, but as a GM, maybe not.
Yeah. No,
where would you rank DaCosta, Light, and Belichick? What order would you put those three in?
In faith, like, going forward from here on out?
Yeah.
DaCosta, Light, Belichick.
So should I put Belichick behind those two?
Sure, if we're doing it like that, sure. Yeah, done. I'm cool with that.
Okay, so we got Veach and Goody left.
Two spots left in the top tiers?
Yeah.
Okay, so they can go in.
Do you think they both should?
Gutekunst is the interesting one to me.
Well, I think they're both interesting just because Veach, it's like Andy Reid has final say, and then with Goody, it's like, well, you had, like, it's kind of like same as DaCosta, where you took over for one of the best GMs. There was a process. You didn't fuck up the process. And with him, he also has the kind of the Light thing where you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. But I really like the way he's gone about building that team. I love the emphasis on defense. I love, like, it feels like they just take offensive linemen post round one and it works.
Yeah, it does.
How much of that is Aaron Rodgers? Probably a lot of it. But so it's kind of tough. Who would you say of those two is the better GM?
I put Veach. Because, like, to me, you still come back to that 2020 class. I know that's hard to knock, but that almost feels like, all right, this is Gutekunst's vision. You know what I mean? And Jordan Love is Jordan Love. We haven't seen him yet. A.J. Dillon, I know he's been good. I still don't like that pick. He took Josiah DeGuar in the third round. Like,
yeah. Whoa, he's about to break out.
Like, who's the best, like, then official? Kamal Martin in the fifth. John Runyon, who was probably the best pick of that group. You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's it. Like,
so
that's
do you
it.
Think he's a Super Bowl architect, or do you think he's full of confidence then?
I would put him full of confidence, personally.
Okay, because I would put him behind DaCosta.
Yeah, I'm fine with putting him. Like, but then
would you
like,
put him
this draft class looked really good. But yeah, it's hard. Like you said, it's hard to separate the Hall of
Fame. We also haven't seen these guys play yet, this draft class.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's definitely true.
So would you put him behind Light?
It's hard to say because, I mean, Light's got the ring, but that, again, it's because of Tom Brady.
It's kind of funny, too, because I feel like Light and Gutekunst, they're both, like, the way they've hit on some guys has been so strong, and they've had some funkier picks, but Light's got the bump of I've got Brady, so it's been okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think when you get to the top, it's interesting. You got the final say here. I'm good.
Okay, so you're with me on behind DaCosta.
Yeah, I'm personally, yes, absolutely.
I mean, this is a little bit projection. I'm putting Goody after DaCosta. I thought that, especially that Rashawn Gary pick, I think, is looking like a slam dunk.
Yeah.
And I think he caught a lot of flack for
He did.
For me, even. So I'm going to put him there. Veach, you want as the final Super Bowl architect?
I would say so.
Would you put him behind Roseman? Because I would.
Okay, I'm fine with that because of the track record. You know what I mean? And how he feels like he's doing it on his own. I think that's a fun thing.
Final question. We already put Les and Brandon Bean here. Is Les Snead the number one Super Bowl architect?
Is it bad that I put Bean over Snead?
My question to you was going to be, well, if we're saying we're hitting Veach with the, well, Andy Reid. Yeah. I know Les Snead hired Sean McVay, but, Sean McVay. Still say it.
Yeah, and, like, the track record pre-McVay. Like, you hinted at earlier, it looked like Snead should have been fired.
Les Snead has been with the Rams since 2012.
Yeah.
Les Snead hired Jeff Fisher.
He did.
But I do really respect the way he is just – they're like completely shifted his process, found this hole in the NFL where you can just trade all your picks for good players who are proven. He's done it. He found a Super Bowl winning quarterback, all pro corner. Like, those are two of the most important positions. He hit on Cooper Kupp. Yep. He hit on Aaron Donald
long time ago. Yep.
Still happened. Like,
no, absolutely. I'm just saying, like, that's kind of credit to him, is that, like,
yeah,
he did that in 2013.
They brought in Leonard Floyd. Like, they bring in smart free agents. They hit on these post top 100 picks. Ernest Jones had this like incredible Super Bowl. I don't know.
At some point, do you think that the draft pick, like, it's going to eventually Bean come back to bite them in the ass, right?
No, it will, but it hasn't yet.
No, it hasn't.
I think Bean has to win a Super Bowl before he can be crowned the top. I know. And him and McDermott feel like perfectly 50-50 in their alignment.
Yeah.
And I know, like, he hit on Josh Allen. He signed Stephon Diggs. He hits on all these defensive players. Just the way they build makes so much sense. They don't, like, they're the Super Bowl favorite for a reason, but they haven't done it yet.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do without Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I mean, they got a national championship winning offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. And don't forget, Joe Brady's the QB coach.
Let's say, okay, that, you're right.
But in my final argument, guess who their tight end coach is?
I have no idea.
Rob Boris.
Sick. Okay, that's
the old Rams OC.
I think it's gonna be interesting to see what they do without Daboll. I feel like it's a very underappreciated storyline right now.
Agreed. I'm gonna put Snead one though.
Fine.
So Snead, Bean, Roseman, Veach.
I'm a less Snead hater though. I'm gonna throw it out there. Not acknowledging that he's very good, but I'm a hater.
Full confidence of the fans. DaCosta, Gutekunst, Light, Belichick, Tobin, Ballard, Robinson, Telesco, Lynch.
Look, sounds good.
You don't actually care.
Sounds good.
Okay, fine. For the chaos tier, though, I put John Schneider at the top.
Yeah, as he should be.
And then Mickey Loomis, then Jerry Jones, then Nick Caserio.
That's it's funny to put Caserio with those guys because, like, you know, they've done it, but yeah,
it's. It's great. Everyone else in the category has a Super Bowl ring, and Caserio's teams have won, like. But he can't go anywhere else.
He can't. He is chaos.
Nick Caserio is my favorite NFL GM.